Acts chapter 9. Talk to you this morning about the ministry of being let down. Acts chapter 9. There are a lot of Yankee fans let down this weekend. I thought I'd preach a sermon to encourage you. But in all seriousness, when we are let down by circumstances or people, it can be painful. But it can also be the Lord ministering to us in other ways. Someone has said our disappointments many times are God's appointments. Amen? And I want us to look at three examples where being let down became a blessing in God's timing. And when we feel let down by others, we must always remember that everyone is human and makes mistakes. And that means that we too also let others down in time. And the Lord never lets us down because He sees the future and He does everything in life for a purpose. And He's always the same. So Acts chapter 9, let's stand please as we read together from God's Word. Acts chapter 9. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And let us pray. Father, thank you so much for opportunity to worship you and to open the Word of God this morning. May your Word have a deep abiding place in our hearts, and may we be willing to hear what your Spirit says to us. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In chapter 9, as we read the conversion of the apostle Paul, Saul became the apostle, the great apostle. In verse number 10, we see how the Lord takes care of him as a new believer. And you keep in mind, Saul is the same one that persecuted the church, who hated the church, imprisoned church members, sent many to prison and to be killed during those early days of the resurrection, shortly after the resurrection. Verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And so we see the story unfolding as this new believer, Saul, is without sight and he's totally dependent on the Lord to help him through these early days. And if we go down to verse number 17 through 25, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, and hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, And he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ, amen, in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound into the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Notice verse 25, the disciples let him down. And it's easier to understand disappointment when we're let down by our enemies. Sometimes friends let us down. But you know what? Sometimes we let them down. But notice, they let him down to save his life here. And bad news often comes at night time. They let him down at night. Notice he's put in a basket. They're determined to succeed in letting him down. But we notice the care that God gives to Saul. Now he's Paul. He's blind, he's helpless. But a vision is given to Ananias and tells him exactly where to go and exactly what to do with him. And Saul came there, a new believer. I mean, he was still wet behind the ears. He was totally dependent on the church to show him the way. And he left them a missionary for Christ. You know, every church should be a missionary church, sending people out into the world to preach the gospel. Ananias reminds us that we're to go to new Christians as soon as possible and not only welcome them into the fellowship, but to get to know them on a personal level and have them over for a meal and just get to know another person in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're all members of that body. We're all important to the Lord and all have a purpose. And so when Ananias sees his duty, he did it right away. And that's a sign of Christian maturity. Paul escapes. The disciples helped him to mature. They helped him further as they let him down in a basket from the wall. And yes, Paul was let down literally, but it did save his life. I'd like you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 19. David is let down. 1 Samuel chapter 19, David's let down by his wife. Verse number 9 through 18. If you recall, David is being hunted by the king, and the king is jealous over his success. The king is jealous over him. The king is jealous over God's blessing on him. And he feels threatened. And he wants to destroy David. And notice verse 9, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, the king, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. David also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul was sent, and when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He's sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul. He said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped, and came to Samuel to Ramoth, and told him all that Saul had done unto him. And Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. Yes, Paul, David is let down here by his wife. We read in the Bible, he's let down by a dear one. I suppose your wife, how many of you are married this morning? Not ashamed to admit it. I suppose your wife has never let you down. You're in church, don't forget. And I suppose you wives have never let your husband down. Of course we have. It's called life. We all make mistakes. Family members sometimes let us down. Sometimes they don't even realize it. Maybe they have a blind spot that they can't see that's obvious to another. Yes, a wife can let a husband down, and a husband can let a wife down. Children can let parents down. And guess what? Parents can let children down. Amen?
Amen.
And it's called life, as we said. But how we deal with it is our choice. I decided a long time ago to forgive people in advance before they do anything that upsets me. And it's working out pretty good. It saves a lot of time. But the Lord sometimes allows loved ones to let us down so that we can trust Him more and more. We read that David was being let down, involved, I think, a little bit of roughness. Did you ever get help out of a window? Sounds to me like that was a pretty rough deal. A few years ago, I locked myself out of my house, and I managed to find one window open. You know, climbing in a window is harder than you may think. I had a couple bruises for a few days. But climbing out of a window with somebody pushing you and helping you to the ground, I guess, is a lot harder. At least I landed on carpet. I can see David escaping out of that window and hitting the ground. But he's let down by his wife. And I'm sure he probably had some bruises. But yet we see it was life-saving as it turned out. We notice also that when David was let down, he was replaced. His wife put an idol in the bed where he normally slept and covered it up so it appeared to be him, and she is deceiving King Saul. Maybe this morning you know what it feels like to be replaced. I don't know. They cannot feel very good. Maybe you were asked to train someone at work, only to find out that after you train them, they let you go. But we find that David was let down to the saving of his life. In the Gospel of Mark, if you'd like to turn there, Mark chapter 2, we have an interesting narrative, a true story, of a man that is let down with the help of friends, let down through the roof of a house because there's so many people around where Jesus is speaking in that house. There's no way for this man to get into the presence of the Lord, and he needed healing. He had palsy. In Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many... Let me ask you this morning, is Jesus in your house? Amen? If he's in your heart, he's in your house. But when people found out that he was in this house, they all gathered to hear what he had to say. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. I find that very interesting. Jesus preached the word of God to the people. That's how important the Word of God is. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus preached the Word of God. And he's preaching about himself also. And they came unto him, and they come unto him, one bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And so here is a person with palsy, one of four in the family, totally dependent on others. And in verse 4, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I don't know if they knew the owner of that house or not. I hope they did. And even if they were the very best of friends, I'm sure there was some explaining to do. Amen? How'd you like somebody to come over to your house and start chopping a hole in the top of your roof? And then they let down by ropes this man in the bed who has the palsy. He's let down by others. He's let down not only by one, but by several. I'm guessing maybe four, we're not told. And yet it was for his own good. I think their letting him down was kind of embarrassing to him, don't you think? I think he was embarrassed. A man with an infirmity like that, and now he's in public view of everyone. And there was nothing he could do about it. He's in front of everyone in the room, and he's being let down. I wonder, did he try to cover his face? Can you see that bed coming down from the... And everybody around is looking up. Obviously, it was a distraction. Obviously, the Lord stopped what he was saying, and everybody's eyes were on that ceiling. And down comes this bed in front of them. I wonder if he's like this, or he's trying to act like everything's cool. No big deal. Don't know. But I'm sure it hurt his pride, perhaps, to be embarrassed like that. He was used to trusting people, not being able to walk. But now he's trusting the Lord completely. You know, it's a good place to be, to trust the Lord completely. And people have limitations, but God has no limitations. These four were all in agreement in letting him down. You could say they had a conspiracy going to let him down, but it was for his own good. I think of someone else in the Bible, and in regards to this, I'd like you to look at Job chapter 2. We know the famous story of Job and all the disappointments he had in life. And in chapter 2, we have the conversation of Satan and the Lord considering Job and what he was permitted to do in Job's life. And in chapter 2 and verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast to his integrity, although thou hast moved me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself wherewithal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now notice, this is after his children have perished. This is after he lost all his wealth and all his cattle. And this is after all of this heartbreak. Now Satan has permission to touch him. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? You have to admire his faith right here, don't you? After going through all that, he's still trusting the Lord. He still knows there's a purpose. He still knows there's a reason. And that's faith. When you don't understand what's going on in your life as a Christian, and yet you can still, by the grace of God and the power of God, you can trust God. Notice verse 11. Now Job's three friends. Now these are the three I'm getting to. These are the ones that let him down. Now Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him. They came, everyone from his own place. I'm not even going to mention their names. I don't even like them. And they're hard to pronounce. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept and rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground. Notice, 7 days and 7 nights. And none spake a word with him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now you have to admire three friends that would visit him and mourn with him. And for 7 days, they sat there by his side, and they're thinking. And they were speechless. But it isn't long, we find in the book of Job, that they start talking. And it isn't long before they start criticizing Job and blaming Job for all the evil that has come on his life. I wonder what Job thought. They must have been close friends. But I wonder what he thought as he saw them from afar off. They didn't recognize him because of the terrible condition he was in. But I wonder what he thought when he saw his friends. He's in a pretty bad state of affairs, isn't he? He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. Now he's got boils all over his body. And it's contagious. And he's left out in the garbage dump outside the town where he was a respected citizen and one that people went to for advice. He was a real statesman and a very rich, influential person. And now he's there by the dump and he's, in all practical purposes, it seems like he's dying there. And his wife just came by and maybe he thought, well, my wife's going to encourage me today. She says, Job, why did you curse God and die? She reached her breaking point. Everyone has one, you know. Amen? And so she leaves him, goes back home or whatever. But I'm wondering what he's thinking as these friends are coming. Maybe he's thinking, praise God, my good friends. I knew God's timing was perfect. They're gonna come. They're going to encourage me. And I wait for them to come. And they come and they sit down and they don't say one word to him for 7 days. And so they're all sitting there speechless for 7 days and 7 nights. And then the conversation starts. And as we read, if you've never read through this book of Job, I'd encourage you to read it. It's really a great book. I first read it when I was unemployed. I thought it would get me a job. J-O-B. Many years ago. Hey, there's a book. I'll read that. I'll find work. That's how ignorant I was of the Bible. I didn't know any of the Bible when I became a Christian. I hated to read as a teenager. I despised reading. I never read anything except the comic books and the sports stories. I was forced to read to graduate high school. My dear wife back there, she studied with me for a solid week so I could pass my history test, final exam. I got the second highest grade in the class, and I needed it just to get a D average for the year and graduate. But, you know, God has a sense of humor. For someone who hated school, I taught school. I became a teacher. For someone who hated reading, I study all the time now. I've got books everywhere. I got books in my office. I got books in the bedroom. I got books in the car. I got books everywhere. I'm always working on a few books. But, you know, God can change your life. Amen?
Amen.
He certainly can. But perhaps when he saw them coming, he said, finally, my friends have come to comfort me. Finally, I get some encouragement. Surely they know and understand what I'm going through. And he starts to share his grief with them. And in return, they take several chapters in the Bible to criticize him lovingly. Job, there must be some sin in your life. Surely you have done some wickedness, and now this is coming to you, and it's your fault. Just confess it. Nice friends, amen? With friends like those, you don't need relatives. I mean, enemies. Just kidding. The Lord is always near when we feel let down or if we are disappointed by others. There are times when others are simply doing God's will, and it may let us down. A young person surrenders to be a missionary, and their parents think, why? Why you? You're supposed to grow up and live right next door to us, and we're going to be visiting your children, our grandchildren. Why would God call you? I remember the day I told my unsaved wife that I was going to serve God and I was going to go to church 3 times a week. Boy, was she let down. Say, how do you know she was let down? I could tell by the way she slammed the doors for a while. She was let down. But she learned later that it was really a good thing. Amen? We should trust the Lord always and in all situations, is what I'm saying. And all things do work together for good.
Amen.
To them that love God.
Amen.
To them who are the called according to His purpose. Even when we don't understand it, God has a purpose. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank You this morning for the short time we've spent in the Scriptures. As we talked about Saul and his conversion and how he was let down to save his life. Lord, as we discussed David, how his wife let him down outside of the window and down the wall to save his life. And the Lord, as we rethink about Job here and how his friends treated him, but how that You were faithful and gave him twice as much as he had before the tragedies came into his life. I pray that You'd have Your will done in our lives this morning. Lord, be with those that may be going through a difficult time or difficult road at this time in their life, that You'd encourage them to trust You. With our heads bowed and eyes closed as our pianist plays a verse of invitation. If you'd like to be remembered in prayer this morning, say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart this morning, and I do want to be remembered in prayer. Could I just see your hand? Would you just lift it up and put it down? God bless you. God bless you. Yes, I see it. God bless you. During the next few moments, why don't you just talk to the Lord about it? Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust You anyway. I just have to believe that You are working out a plan in my life. And I'm going to trust You. Maybe this morning God has allowed trials into your life to bring you to Him for salvation, to know Him in a personal way. You can invite Him into your heart and He'll stay with you. Go home with you. Walk with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's real. He's alive. He's resurrected. He wants to be your Savior and guide and friend. And this morning, you can invite Him into your heart. Trust Him completely. What He did on the cross as He shed His life's blood to wash away our sins. You say, well, Pastor, I'll do that some other time. We don't know that we even have a tomorrow. Today is the day, now is the accepted time. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Invite him to come in today and leave here a new person in Christ. Let's open our hymn book, please, and stand and turn to 559. 559. Our invitation is open if anyone would like to come and pray at the altar for any reason or any purpose. Would you come as we sing 559?
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject Him no more. Just now
first. If no one comes this morning, we'll close the invitation. God is speaking to your heart this morning. Would you respond to Him as we sing verse number 4?
If you would join the glad songs of the blessed, let Jesus.